You know, Wednesday, we had a very good meeting Wednesday. Actually, it was a great Bible study. And over the past weeks, the Lord's been dealing with me a lot about being weary in spirit, because I have been a recipient of being weary. You know, sometimes the devil tries to make you think certain things, and it's not so. I'll tell you something that got me, that amazed me, was my wife was praying, and she came in the room, and she told me right before she prayed that Deja was in her room praying, and I looked at myself, I said, Lord, what is wrong with me? Why come I hang on my knees praying? I'm the preacher. But my family was praying. And so what Satan started to do was build these things up in my head that, oh, you ain't worthy, you ain't this, and you ain't that, and it began to put me in a weary state. And I had to shake that off and say, you know what? I am a child of God. I am what he called me to be. And so therefore, I don't pay attention to what he has to say. I have to look at what the word of God says, because he says that I'm more than a conqueror. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a what?
New creature.
So I'm new. All those old things have passed away, and I'm blessed, and I'm highly favored. And I had to really recognize that. In spite of me getting on my knees every day, in spite of me, you know, singing worship songs all the time, I still know within myself that I'm God's child. Amen?
Amen.
Life can be very weary at times, and for a variety of reasons. Perhaps we have wearied ourselves with our sin, as Jeremiah 9 and 5 states. Perhaps life has just pushed us physically, emotionally, to great lengths. We are simply tired and worn out. How many of y'all tired and worn out? Day in and day out, struggles. Maybe we've reduced the Christian life to a legalistic system of standards and performance that has made living tiresome. If we have sinned, the word declares that we must repent. If we are simply languished, there is time for rest. Somebody say time for rest.
Time for rest.
If we are relying upon self for sanctification, we need to surrender control and come under his grace. We speak about it quite often that grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is God's unmerited favor. The word declares that we are called to be Christians, and we are called to perseverance, and we are called to finish strong. We battle fatigue, indifference, and in the flesh, but we must continue to believe and do good. God makes a conditional promise by saying that we will bear fruit and gain eternal reward at the proper time if we don't lose heart and grow weary. Somebody say, grow weary.
Grow weary.
In fact, if we lose heart in our praying, we are not expected to receive any answers, according to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Thus, it is important that we know how strength can be sustained and renewed by not being weary. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we want to talk about Elijah. Elijah was in a situation where, because of a woman called Jezebel, seduced him into thinking that he would be killed because he had done a mighty work. Have you ever been on the mountaintop and the next day you're in the valley? You feel like you're strong. You feel like you got it going on, and something takes a turn, which causes you to be in a rut. Makes you feel down. Makes you feel disgusted about yourself. I've been there 100 times. Many of you said, "Greg, the message was powerful," and then I feel good and I feel great, and then Monday morning I'm in the dumps. Look like I should maintain that happiness. But for some odd reason, Satan comes to kill, steal, and do what?
Destroy.
Now let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19. The story reads about how Jezebel tried to attack Elijah. And we want to start at verse 4. At verse 4. It says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might not die, and said, It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's." I've been in that shoe. I've been in that man's shoe so many times, I can't even count them. Lord, just take my life. That weariness. Verse 5 says, then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and there were by his head a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is great for you. So he rose and ate and drank and went in the strength that of that food for 40 days. Somebody say 40 days. And 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there went into a cave and spent. There he went into a cave and spent the night there at that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Sometimes God has to ask you the question, what are you doing here? He's asked me that many times. Why are you in a state of depression? Why are you in a state of weariness? Why do you feel low and self? Why is your esteem low? God is calling us to be strong and in the power of his might. But here we find that Elijah is now sitting in a cave, utterly depressed. Look at what he says. In verse 9, he says, and he went into the cave and spent the night there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and asked him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And so he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars. He said, they've torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword, and I'm left alone, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand out on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, and in the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. And he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I'm left alone, and they seek to take my life. Now, let's look at Elijah. Elijah is depressed because he's on fire for God. Yet there are other prophets out there that are doing worse, terrible things, and are getting glory. Case in point, we talk about it all the time. Church in Houston, 40,000 people packed it out. All hear words of how much God wants to love, how much God wants to bless you. But never a word that's telling people that's going to convict them to change their hearts and change their minds. I hope I'm making sense. What we're realizing here is Elijah's in a state, as I've been many days. I've said, Lord, I'm trying to preach your word. I'm trying to preach the gospel, and I'm trying to be true to what you've called me to do. And God is saying, Greg, where are you? Why are you in a cave? Why is your mindset in a cave? Do you not understand that I have other prophets out there that preach good things just like you do? That are telling the truth just like you do? So don't be weary in your reasoning. Understand that their day, the ones that are out there false, that are preaching false messages, their day will come. But you need to get up out of the cave. Somebody say, get up out of the cave. Now, don't turn there for time's sake because it's not on PowerPoint, but Isaiah chapter 57 says this. You wear yourselves out trying, and this is from the Message Bible, you wear yourselves out trying the new and different and never see what a waste of time it all is. You always found strength for the latest fad. Never got tired of trying new religions. You know that's where we are as a church now. We weary ourselves because we're trying to be too much like somebody else. Wednesday night was very appropriate for us as we met together Wednesday night, because those of you that weren't here, we talked about having a spirit of excellence. We talked about how this church needs to get to the, and I thank God for everybody this morning that stepped up to the plate and did things with a spirit of excellence. We talked about the importance that when people come in, they want to see the glory of God, not a replica of another church down the street. When they come in, they should be able to see the Spirit of God. Somebody say Spirit of God. So we don't want to wear ourselves trying to be like anybody else. Louis can attest to this. We were kids. We had the white glove and for Michael Jackson. Come on, y'all. And what I did was got my grandmother's glove and put glitter on it. It was her Usher glove. And if she knew to this day that I got her Usher glove and put glitter on it, she slapped me crazy. But that was the fad. Okay? They were making Michael Jackson gloves that were costing $50, $60, $70, which we couldn't afford, so we had to make one. And nowadays in a church or in the house of God, we're trying to make things happen, and God is not anointed that to be. He's saying, be what I've called you to be. That's why it was so imperative that we had that meeting Wednesday to discuss the significance of having a spirit of excellence at the Ark. Not being another church, but the individual vision that God has placed in us, which is to be excellent. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6. Go to Matthew chapter 6. And let's look at verse 31. Because we also want to dive into scripture to understand how do we overcome weariness. Because God ultimately wants to give us rest. He wants to bless us indefinitely with rest. Somebody say rest. For my weary soul. Matthew 6 and 31. Look at what it says there. Jesus is telling us here. He says, do not worry. Worry is a sin. And I have to be the first to admit, that's one of my biggest sins. Worry is something that I need God to deliver me from. Amen? Amen? Do not worry, saying, what shall you eat? What shall you drink? Or what shall you wear? For after these things, he says, the world seeks it. The Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need things. He knows this. But this is what he tells us to do. In Matthew 6 and 33, for us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Now check this out. We here in this church, we sought the Lord Jesus Christ. We're seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. As we seek him, as we seek his face, and individually, as we seek his face, and not so much his hand, everything will be added to us. The message now is seeking his hand. Get his hand. Get what you can from it. Be blessed. But the intimacy is what God is wanting. He wants us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says, my hand will follow. Everything that you want being blessed, I will give that to you if you just seek the kingdom of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Matthew 11, chapter 28. Matthew 11. Look at verse 28. Jesus is giving us a prime example of how he's trying to give rest for the weary. Rest for the weary. I'm telling you, I've been weary in my spirit. I don't know about y'all, but I've been weary in my spirit of many days. And God is not calling us to do so. Look at what he says in verse 28 of chapter 11 of Matthew. He says, come to me, all of you that labor, or who labor, and are heavy laden, and he says, I'll give you what?
Rest.
How do we rest in him? You know, some people, you got the Seventh-day Adventists that say that the Sabbath is on Saturday. But we have to understand that Christ is the Sabbath. He is the Sabbath. It's not a particular day. You can rest on Wednesday. The Sabbath is in Christ. Which means that you rest continually. I hope it makes sense. He says, I have not come to destroy the law, but I've come to do what? Fulfill it. It's in the law that we should keep the Sabbath. It's in the Ten Commandments for us to keep the Sabbath. But in the New Testament, everything that the law encompasses is Christ Jesus. So what he's saying is, rest in me. When you're dealing through a situation, you're dealing with situations that's too hard for you to handle. He says, rest in me. All ye that are heavy laden and burdened, just give it to me. I'm your Sabbath. I tell Teresa all the time, me and her talk about different things that go on in our lives. Sometimes we have to look at each other and say, just chill. If we just chill, if we just lay back and rest in the arms of God, he's going to take care of everything. That ties into just what we just read in Matthew 6 and 33. If we seek the kingdom of God and whose righteousness? His righteousness. He says, don't worry about the car note. That's taken care of. Don't worry about your mortgage. That's taken care of. Don't worry about your clothes. That's taken care of. Too many of us are trying to make God do something physically when it's already done in the spirit. I hope I'm making sense. We're trying to keep up with the... I told y'all the other day, I do want an iPad 3. In it. I got the one now. But I'm fine with that. But God, if I keep seeking his face, because he said in Psalms that he will give us the desires of our hearts. Amen? If I just seek his face, if I just seek his face, turn from my wicked ways. Amen? He says, then he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal the land. He will give me the desires of my heart. Now check this out. I've been wanting an iPad for the longest. I have been wanting one. And I gave it over to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know what? You know I desire to have one of the things because it's better than printing out paper and wasting, cutting trees down. So, Lord, you know I want one. So over time, I left it alone. And I began to seek him. Not the thing now. Because the devil will make you do this. What can I pawn? Or what can I sell to get what I want? Y'all looking at me strange. Y'all ain't never been to the pawn shop? But the devil will plant these things as opposed to, in other words, he'll try to make you do works in order to get what you need. And God is saying, just seek my kingdom and I'll give you the desires of your heart. There was a brother that was going to church here and he had one. And we were talking about it and I said, man, I sure would like one of them things. Now look at how God works. He said, here, you can have this. I said, wait a minute, hold up. Is it hot? What's going on? He said, no, man. He said, I can afford it. I got it. You can have it. He said, I'm gonna get another one. I don't hardly use it anyway. I just got it last week. He said, I don't even hardly use it. He said, you can have it. It was for me. The whole time. But look at what God did. By seeking ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, I will give you all these other things. Isn't that a blessing to know? Look at 11, look at verse 28 again. He says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and do what? If we learn of him, weariness takes learning takes the place of weariness. Do you know the more we stay in his word, the less weary we get? Because Satan wants us to focus on the negative, and God is telling us to focus on the positive. He says, learn of me. He says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Somebody say rest.
Rest.
You will find rest for your souls. Verse 30, I love it. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He's saying to us, a yoke was something, a tool used for oxen.
Very heavy.
Very heavy. Mm-hmm. That they would yoke each other up and it was to carry the oxen around. And Jesus is saying, you know what? Give me your heaviness. Mm-hmm. Give me your burden. Give me what is taking control of your life right now that's putting you in a slump. Give it to me. Sometimes people call it nonchalant, but sometimes you got to be nonchalant with the devil. Mm-hmm. When he come at you and he say, oh, you ain't this, oh, that ain't going to work, be nonchalant. Don't care what he says because you have enough confidence in knowing that his yoke is easy and his burden is what?
Right.
Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I don't know about y'all, but I was blessed by it. I was blessed by knowing that I don't have to be weary. But I'm not weary because I'm trying my best to strive to live right. Amen? I have not yet apprehended. I have not yet arrived, as Paul said, but I'm trying and I'm pushing to make sure that I reach that mark. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Look at verse 4. This is what happens when he gives us rest. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." We can do nothing without Christ. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is what? And is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." Look at verse 7. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." I desired my iPad. I desired it. But after abiding in Christ and saying, "Look, I'm just going to trust God, look at God, don't take my eyes off of God, stay in his word, stay obedient to what he's called me to do, don't look at the negative, stay down focused in what he wants me to do. Here come a man, just say here. A $300, $400 device. To say here. If my word abide in you, and you abide in me," he says, "whatever you desire, whatever you desire, it will be done for you." Verse 8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." What a blessing. What a blessing to know that abiding in him, not being weary, but resting in him, we produce much fruit. The philosophy of this ministry is to build plus build equals fruit. That means if we build each other up, the next man can go and build another person up. Because fruit is already being produced in the one that's being built up. So when he builds up another individual, fruit is produced there. Then before you know anything, you got apples and oranges everywhere. Because we're building each other up in him. Romans 8, 28. Somebody said, "Well, you know, certain things happen in my life so much that I just can't rest." It's the perspective. That's one of the things that I had to learn. It's how I look at it. It's how I perceive it. And once I looked at it the way God looked at it, then how blessed I am. Because sometimes, you know, we have a comparison situation. "Well, so-and-so ain't going through nothing. Well, I got to be going through something." You remember Jesus was with Peter, and they began to talk, and Jesus told Peter, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And then he says, "What about him?" Talking about one of the other disciples. He said, "Don't be concerned about him. Mm-hmm. You just do what I told you to do." Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to put ourselves in that frame of mind. God didn't call the ark to be the potter's house. He didn't call the ark to be covenant. He called the ark to be the ark. And with that mindset, we stay within the parameters of what he called us to do. Because otherwise, if we go outside that, then we're being disobedient. And then that's when weariness comes in. That's when tiredness comes in. Because at this ministry, at this church, we're going to be so wholeheartedly for God and worshiping him in spirit and truth that we have the energy and the excitement to do so. Does that make sense? So somebody says, "Well, why do I have to deal with this and go through this and go through that?" Look at what he says in Romans 8:28, what Paul says. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things, somebody say all things, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So everything happens for a reason. It's not that you, not, it's not for you to be put in a weary state or a state of mind of being, God, let me tell you something. God showed me something last week. As y'all know, Easter was packed out of here. And my question to those that were here, some for the first time, will I see you next week? Well, of course, we don't see that. The devil wanted to put me in a state of weariness. This is how he speaks to us preachers. Well, you didn't reach him, Greg. That's why they didn't come back. Well, Greg, you didn't talk about what the norm was, which was Easter Sunday. You didn't do this. You didn't do this. This is what the devil wants to portray you. But how many of y'all know sometimes folk that come in can tamper church? Y'all feel what I'm saying? So it's good that those that stuck like glue stayed and the others left. Because God told me in his word, he said, everything works together for your good, son. Because I do the separating. They look holy. They look like they're the same thing, but I separate the wheat from the tares. You don't do the separating. I do the separating. So I will draw in whomever I want to draw in. Why? Because he said, upon this rock, I will build whose church? His church. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Amen?
Amen?
So he says, everything, despite the way things look, despite the circumstance, despite the situation, everything is working for my good. All things work together for good of them that love God and are called according to whose purpose? 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. Look at what he says in verse 1. He says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. He says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor being lords over God's heritage, that's the King James, nor being lords over those entrusted to you, but be examples, somebody say examples, to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Somebody say it does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. Do you know that worry and weariness, I learned the hard way, is pride? It's not humble. It's not humility. It's pride. It's saying, God, you can't handle this. I got to worry about this. It's pride. And he says that he only gives grace to the humble. But he's not going to look at us if it's pride. Pride is equivalent to worry. Because we're saying, in a sense, that God can't handle our situation. He says, verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you when? Amen. Too many of us got Mercedes Benz living in Section 8 houses. Because we're trying to be something that we're not. He's saying, just let humility take reign. Take charge. And he says, in due time, somebody said, due time. He says, you will be exalted. In due time. Verse 7 says, casting all your cares upon him because he does what? Now look at verse 8. We have an enemy because he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Worry, weariness is a technique that Satan uses to devour us. That's the reason why a lot of us on Prestige, all kind of antidepressants. Because of weariness. And he's trying to seek whom he can devour. Look at what he says. Resist him. Verse 9. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Great. It's great to know that. Bad to know it, but it's great to know it. That the same hell somebody else is going through, or that I'm going through, they're going through it too. And what I was working for their good, it's working for my good. How many of y'all ever felt that you're going through it by yourself? You feel all alone. You feel like you, Lord, why me? Why I got to struggle? Why I got to go through this by myself? But he says clearly that your brethren are dealing with the same issues elsewhere. I met with my pastor this week. He came by my house, and I was pretty toe up, pretty upset. And I told Brad, I said, Brad, I need you to come over here because I'm about to explode. He said, give me 10 minutes, I'm on my way. He comes over, we're sitting there talking. And he said, what's the matter? I said, I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy. I'm just going to be straight up with you. I'm not happy with the way things are going in my life. My life, not so much as a church, but it's just in my life. He said, wait a minute. You're disgusted. What are you disgusted? What are you weary about? Why are you troubled? And I said, well, you know, it's just X, Y, Z. I was just naming off different things. He said, well, you know, it's funny you would do that because Troy, which is another pastor in Fort Worth, called him yesterday crying because he had 100 people at Easter Sunday. And he was looking for 300. He said, it's funny you say that because here I am with 600 people in my church and I'm looking for 600 to come through the door and we only had 200 to 300 people. He said, so don't let Satan rob you because what people look like on the outside really ain't what it is.
That's right.
How many of y'all remember the commercial Memorex? You know, it looked like the real thing, sound like the real thing, but it's a tape. And a lot of people walk around and masquerade themselves like they got it going on. Mm-hmm. And they're struggling, sometimes worse than we are. Facebook depicts that a lot. Ain't nobody gonna put a picture on there about themselves being sad. Come on, y'all real with me now. Everybody on Facebook, we smiling. Right? Because we wanna let people know how great we're doing. But behind closed doors, we're weary. And Christ is saying, give it to me. You don't have to put on the front. You give me what you're dealing with, and I will be the one that gives you rest. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Y'all are so quiet this morning. Y'all, is it the weather?
Yes, it is.
We're letting it soak in.
Look at what John is saying here in chapter 4, verse 18. Look at starting at 18. He says this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, somebody say perfect love, cast out all fear. Perfect love cast out all fear, because fear involves torment. So a lot of times what we're weary and worried about is a trick from the enemy, because what we're worried about ain't going to happen no way. I used to worry about Therese when she was going to Stephen F. Austin. She'd be on the road. And I'd be like, Lord, please, you know, bless her. Don't let her get on wreck. Don't let her do this. Come to find out, her and Roche's wife, another pastor friend of mine down in Houston, were going to school together. They be riding out there, they be pouring. Hey! And here I am at home. Lord, please bless her, watch over. Please don't let her get hurt. Please don't let her, please don't let them slide off the road. Please don't let her. And they having a good time. And Satan is wanting to plant in our minds worry and weariness. But it's torment. It says, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. If we fear, we have not been made perfect in love. We love him because he did what? First loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a what? For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Now we have a closing scripture in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And we'll start at verse 6. It's not on the screen, but we'll start at verse 6. Galatians chapter 6, Paul says here, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 9 blesses me. He says, be not weary in well doing. For in due season, somebody say due season, you will reap if you do not lose heart. The reason why that blessed me, because it's so easy for us to grow weary when we see things of the world, when we see churches and religions doing something that is really not necessarily of God. I told y'all a couple of Sundays ago that there's going to be a remnant of people, which is a small sect of people that's going to be the real true church. The people that's going to really, really get it right. The Bible declares that he's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. Amen? Yeah. That means I can't have my pools in my back pocket and still go to church. That means that I got to be washed in the blood and I got to sanctify, let God sanctify me, set me apart and cleanse me of my unrighteousness. In other words, he's not coming back for, like we were talking Wednesday, a mediocre church. He's coming back for an excellent church without spot or blemish. So if we faint not, if we don't grow weary in our well-doing, if we understand that the process of what we deal with is for our good, God wants to bless us. The Lord here calls apostates and hypocrites to appear before him. When reproved for their sins and threatened with judgment, they ridicule the word of God. The Jews were guilty of idolatry before their captivity, but not after that affliction. Their zeal in worship of false gods made shame of indifference in the worship of the true God. The service of sin is disgraceful slavery. Somebody say disgraceful. Disgraceful slavery. Those who thus debase themselves to hell will justly have their proportion or their portion there. Men inclined to a religion that inflames their unholy passions. What he's saying here is we need to rely on God, thus we won't be weary. They are led to do any evil, however great or vile, if they think it will atone for crimes or purchase indulgence for some favorite lust. This explains idolatry, whether it be paganistic, Jewish, or anti-Christian. But those set up against anything instead of God, for their hope and their confidence, will never come to a right end. If we don't stop worrying, if we don't allow ourselves to rest in God, we can rest assured that we come to a dangerous end. We got people that's dying of heart attacks, dying of strokes, because of worry, because of weariness, because of lack of trusting in God himself, and they came to no good end. Those who forsake the only right way wander in a thousand by paths. The pleasure of sin will soon tire you out. It will never satisfy. Those who do not care for the word of God and his providences show that they have no fear of God. Sin profits not. It just ruins and destroys. When we don't worry, when we're not weary and we rest in God, we can trust that we have faith. The Bible declares that faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. We all sit in these chairs, not examining the chairs, not looking at how they're made to see if they will hold us up. We just did what? We just sat down. That's faith. So when worry comes, rebuke Satan. Tell him he's a liar. Tell him, I am blessed. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I'm more than what they say I am, because I'm a child of God. We don't trust in man. We don't trust in the things of this world. We trust in the creator of this world. And if he says, I got it going on, then I got it going on. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. At this time, I'm going to ask everyone to come around the altar. We know that we all in this room are saved. We all in this room know the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe there's somebody in your life that is not saved. Maybe there's someone in your life that really, really needs a word from the Lord. And it really needs a prayer from God. And so at this point in time, we just want to intercede for these individuals. Sean, if you would. We want to pray that these individuals are blessed, that their needs are met. And if you have any concerns and any prayer concerns and any needs right now, make your petition known. The Bible declares that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. That way has been made open for us by the cross. And now he's saying, prepare your hearts and pray before him, because he's there to meet our needs.